Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, the Taoiseach Simon Harris will support the nomination of Ursula von der Leyen for a second term as European Commission President when he joins 25 other EU leaders for a two-day summit in Brussels today. It comes as the government is hoping that former Finance Minister Michael McGrath will be in line for a top job as part of the von der Leyen Commission. For more, we're joined by Suzanne Lynch, Associate Editor at Politico. Ursula von der Leyen set to get the nod today from the Council of EU leaders and clear the first hurdle in her in a return to the role as Commission President. But the Italian Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, has let her know that she's not too happy about this. Why?
Yeah, that's certainly the case. The Italian Prime Minister was speaking in her own parliament in Rome yesterday, and she really slammed the process. She feels that this has been a pre-cooked deal with not enough consultation, particularly with her and the kind of political movement she represents, because she's arguing that the more hard right parties have done very well in the European elections, particularly in the parliament. They've increased their numbers, and this should be reflected in how the top EU jobs are allocated. But as you were saying there, it does look like leaders will back the original package that we thought might happen, which is von der Leyen for the Commission President, Antonio Costa from Portugal as the European Council President, and Kaja Kallas, the Estonian Prime Minister, is set to become the next EU foreign policy chief. So look, it looks like that's a done deal. And what's crucial today is that they don't need all leaders to agree. It's done by qualified majority. So technically, you know, they can push this through if Meloni blocks it. However, as you pointed out there, it's only first part of the hurdle for von der Leyen. In a few weeks, the European Parliament will then vote on her nomination. And there she could be in more difficulty. And she may need the vote from the parties represented by not just Meloni, but the hard right. So, you know, they're going to handle this very carefully. Yes, they could push it through today, but at what cost? So that's what's going to be interesting. And I think all eyes will be on Meloni when she arrives today.
So she will have to do, or in theory at least, Italy's pitch for a commissioner will have to be entertained largely in order to get Giorgia Meloni to play a constructive role, perhaps in the European Parliament process of getting her members of the ERC to either abstain or vote in favour of Ursula von der Leyen. Is that the case?
That's really it in a nutshell. So the big question will be, will Meloni, she could still cause a fuss today and say, you know, she's not backing this. And the optics of that are bad. Usually these kind of decisions are made through consensus. But secondly, as you say there, it's going to be the specifics of what she wants. At the very minimum, she's going to want a top job for her commissioner, whoever they put forward from Rome in the next commission. But she could also maybe look for senior jobs within the European Parliament. There are various roles there, you know, committee chairs, different ranks within the Parliament that can be very important for legislation. So, I mean, the choice will be hers, I would say. So whether that's enough to kind of get her over the line, whether she abstains and she will be happy with that, that will be the key issue. But it's bad for the optics of the EU. I mean, the last meeting they had about 10 days ago or so, the six main leaders, Macron, Schultz, Tusk, the six men went in and agreed this without Meloni, and then went into the rest of the leaders, and she was furious. She felt that, you know, this is not the way the EU should be doing business. So, look, we'll see how this plays out today, but at the very minimum, yes, Italy will get, I think, what it wants when it comes to the allocation of jobs within the European Commission.
All right. I suppose on the politics of it, though, is it better for the business to be done with Meloni on a bilateral basis in her capacity as leader of Italy, and for Ursula von der Leyen not to be seen to be horse trading with the ERC? Because if she seeks the support of the ERC hard right group, she may alienate individual members of Renew, the Socialists and the EPP when they go to vote in the secret ballot.
Yeah, that's a conundrum for von der Leyen, because she has indicated, she's played it quite cleverly. She's kept the lines of communication open with Meloni. But as you say, can't do that too much, because it can't look, she feels that she can't look like she's too close to the hard right, because then the other more centrist groups in the parliament will be annoyed. They've already said, you can't do a deal with the hard right. So it's all going to be a numbers game for von der Leyen, because she's got the support of the three main parties in the European Parliament. But what's happened for Meloni, which has galvanised her, is that she, her group in the European Parliament has got new members, and it has now slipped up from fourth place to third place. And then Ursula von der Leyen can't depend on the votes of all those groups, because actually in the Irish situation, the Fianna Fáil MEPs in Renew Europe group, they have said they don't want to back her, whereas the rest of the group have indicated, or more or less, that they probably will.
Right.
Now, yeah, as you said, a secret ballot. So let's see how the vote would go there.
Yeah, well, seeing as you mentioned the Irish MEPs, that's where all Irish eyes are, is what progress the Taoiseach might make today on securing one of the top jobs, or at least a senior job for Michael McGrath. What does he have to do around that? He's bringing to the table his own vote as a member state leader, and also those of the EPP MEPs from Fine Gael who were elected in the recent elections. But what else does he need to do, and how does he need to sell Michael McGrath?
Well, I think it's significant that Ireland has nominated its commissioner relatively early in the process. It certainly, by no means, is the first. There are other countries, but relatively early, it's put the name out there, which I think is probably, you know, a good strategy. In saying that, you know, claiming that, you know, Ireland wants a financial portfolio, there are a lot of countries that are going to want that. Now, within the word finance, you know, this could cover a wide range of commissioner portfolios. And indeed, it may be the case that in the next commission, von der Leyen, you know, redivides, you know, different commissioners could be created. Different, you know, you could. Have a finance commissioner who's not involved with tax, for example. I mean, I've heard a couple of people saying here that is a tricky issue for Ireland because of the corporate tax issue. A lot of countries are not comfortable with Ireland's stance on that. So will they really want an Irish commissioner in charge of that? So I think that's, but again, you know, there's ways of slicing this. There could be different kinds of commissioner jobs that are set up. There are 27 after all. Like, for example, von der Leyen has already indicated she's going to create a defence commissioner. So she could reallocate and slice up those commissionerships differently. But look, I think it is significant there's a name out there. However, for Michael McGrath, he is not part of the EPP, the von der Leyen's political family. And ultimately, it will be her when, and we do expect she will be the next commission president, she will have the final word, essentially, in who gets what commissioner portfolio. And then the other issue is that we don't know yet if she is going to demand that each country presents a male and female candidate. We just don't know that. And we're a long way away, really, from knowing that. This is still pretty early in the process, and the current commission will be in situ until basically towards the end of the year. So it's very early days, and there's a lot of parts in the jigsaw puzzle to be worked out.
Right. Would you expect a well-known colleague, a former colleague of Michael McGrath's, to work the phones in the lobbying effort? Pascal Donoghue, who would have good connections through his presidency of the Eurogroup, he's a well-established presence in Europe. Do you think his diplomatic efforts will be called into play to advance Michael McGrath's case?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure about that, although I do have to say I've seen on social media that Pascal Donoghue has been posting pictures of himself and Michael McGrath since the news. So, yes, they seem to have a very good working relationship. And yes, because Pascal Donoghue chairs the Eurogroup, he is obviously very well known, you know, more than I think it's fair to say than Michael McGrath, because he has been chairing that Eurogroup and before that was finance minister. So, yes, I do think, I mean, what's happening here in Brussels is that every country is trying to, you know, make a claim on different jobs. And in fact, you know, get people like officials into the cabinets of all these people as well. Like there's quite a play going on at the moment here. But I think the fact that Pascal Donoghue, you know, is well known and has a kind of proven beat in the finance. Yes, he, of course, knows the people in this world here. Presumably he can, but look, that is really ultimately a question for him.
Sure, it wouldn't do any harm anyway. Okay, Suzanne Lynch, Associate Editor at Politico, thanks very much for joining us. Now, coming up a week out from the UK general election, we hear from the key battleground of East Belfast, where two party leaders go head-to-head for a seat.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.